Today on episode number 392 of the School of Podcasting's morning announcements, which you can find over there at schoolofpodcasting.com/392. We've got a cool last five and five, a Because of My Podcast story. We're going to talk with Trent Dearsmith about how podcasting has helped his business explode. You're going to hear a clip of me from Quality Living Made Simple and my mantra. We're going to talk about how to choose a media host and how, what to avoid, basically. And that's right. At the end, Reverend Jackson is going to take the microphone and tell you some things that have been on my mind. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since all the way back in 2005. I am your personal, as in me and you, podcast coach, as in I'm going to help you do things the right way and not get hurt. Save you time, save you money. If you are new to the show, I am an acquired taste. If this is your first listen, I beg of you to give me two more before you go, that guy's just too weird. We talk about all things podcasting, from planning to recording, equipment, all points in between. I come along, I bring my 20 plus years of training experience, and I flatten the learning curve of podcasting. I let you know that you are never alone in your pursuit of podcasting success. If you would like to contact me, super easy, schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. And I always like to just jump into the pool here and start off with what I call Because of My Podcast stories. Now, what these are, it's simple. If you want to send one in, just answer the question, Because of My Podcast, blank. And today, this is from the New Media Expo back in Vegas in the beginning of the year. I was out there talking with the lovely and talented Cicely.
All right, well, we are here in the, what is this, the Expo show floor.
Yes.
In lovely Las Vegas, and I'm here with?
Cicely Korst.
And your podcast is?
Our little podcast is called The Trailer Talks, and it's at thetrailertalks.com.
Very cool. And tell us a little bit about your podcast.
So we interview people who are living creative lives, from artists to actors, entrepreneurs, anybody really we can get our hands on who is out there living a life creatively.
Okay. And my question for you is, because of your podcast?
Because of my podcast, our parent company, which is called Chapelure Media, has clients. And what we do there is we teach people how to do social media, where their digital PR should be. So, yeah, we get clients out of it. It's wonderful.
And so do you have people coming to you going, hey, I heard about your podcast? Like, how do you promote your business through your podcast?
Actually, we don't a whole lot because the business hasn't officially launched yet.
Okay, wait, hold on. She's getting clients for a business from her podcast for a business that doesn't even exist yet. How cool is that? All right, back to Cicely.
So you're getting clients, for your company that doesn't exist yet.
Doesn't exist yet, exactly.
That's a good problem to have.
Right. No, and all we do is put up the graphic on the end of the podcast while we're doing, like, we have a few outtakes on the end.
Right.
And that's what we do. The graphic is up there. We don't even have our website out there. And people are calling us. It's great.
Very cool. And we should mention, it is a video podcast.
It is a video podcast.
Now, is it just on YouTube, or is it also available on iTunes?
It's on iTunes as well.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I said it was going to be one question. I lied.
That's okay.
Do you know ratio, without going back to like ninth grade algebra, YouTube to downloads in like... Like, obviously, YouTube, I would think, would be much more.
No.
No, really?
It depends on the guest.
Interesting.
Seriously. So, if we have somebody like, let me think of someone who's really well-known in YouTube land, John Elric, who has The Gentleman's Rant on YouTube.
Okay.
Has 5,000 views. And that's huge for us, because we also have people like Ben Keen who have 18. But Ben Keen is of Tribe Wanted and doing amazing things out there, and more people should know about him. So,
cool. All right. And then the last question we have, it's the pop quiz. It's the, not so much what are your favorite five podcasts, but if you can remember, what were the last five podcasts that you listened to? And if you could tell us a little bit about each one.
I can do that. So this morning I listened to two, and yesterday I'm sure I listened to some. Radiolab, obviously, one of America's favorites.
Okay.
I love Radiolab. They're WNYC's little... it's like their little yacht of podcasts, I think.
Okay.
It's, they explore all things scientific.
Okay.
And sometimes mystical, which is really fun, and they're highly entertaining.
Okay.
The Kira Sultanovich Show. She's a comedian out of Los Angeles.
See, this is why we do this. I've heard of neither one of these.
You don't know Radiolab? Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah, you have to hit that one.
Okay.
Because the sound is amazing.
And she's a comedian?
She's a comedian, she is a mom, and she interviews other comedians who are parents.
Cool.
So it gets very, very funny.
So it's that whole niching down thing. It's not just comedians, it's comedians that are parents.
Right.
Cool.
Exactly.
All right, that's two.
Okay, the Alton Brown cast.
Again, never heard of it.
Alton Brown?
No.
Okay, he's a chef from... the Food Network.
Okay.
And
again, no TV.
Right, no TV. Okay, so he had a cooking show for years on the Food Network, and now he does a podcast and he's got a live show, and he's doing really well. So he's all kinds of fun. He does interviews with people regarding food.
Right.
And then the Dinner Party Download, which is a little NPR product as well.
Okay, and that's four.
That's four. Okay, yeah, the Dinner Party Download helps you win this weekend's dinner parties.
Okay.
So lots of facts, fun stuff.
Again, never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
See, this is the problem with me. I listen to podcasts about podcasting. So I'm a one-trick pony. But that's cool.
These. And then the last one is a little video podcast. And I don't think they've put out a recent episode, but I rewatched them. And it's called the Living Outrageously podcast.
Okay.
And actually, they have created quite the little community on Facebook. It's a mastermind group.
Cool.
So you can go back and watch all of their old shows. And it's just two crazy Australians talking about success in business.
Right.
And it's called?
It's called Living Outrageously.
Gotcha. And we can find your podcast at?
At thetrailertalks.com.
Cool.
If you go to trailertalks.com, you're going to end up somewhere in like upstate New York at a campground.
Okay.
We tried to buy the URL. We couldn't quite get it.
Bummer.
Yeah.
All right. One more question just for fun.
Sure.
Is this your first expo?
It is.
And thoughts?
Oh, this is great. Are you kidding me? I'm meeting heroes. I'm learning stuff. It's very, very fun.
Well, there you go. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you.
Yep.
There you go. She was awesome. Very cool. Find her out at thetrailertalks.com. Very interesting things there. I always thought that in terms of downloads from YouTube versus downloads from iTunes, because YouTube is the be-all, end-all of the world. And she said, no, it depends on the guest. Very, very cool stuff, sir. So let's get over to talking. And what's interesting about that, she's getting clients for a company that she hasn't really even promoted yet from her podcast. So that's an example of using podcasting for your business. And that's why I've brought in today Trent Deersmith, who you will hear in this interview, is using podcasting to boost his business. So with that, let's not pause anymore and go over to that interview as we listen to this together. All right, well, joining me via Skype, you can check him out over at brightideas.co. It is Trent Deersmith. Trent, thanks for coming on the show.
No problem, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you caught everybody's eye in the Google podcasters kind of resource over there in the group, and you had a post that says, "Hey, gang, I'm now about 120 episodes into my show, and things have gone extremely well for me. We did over $100,000 in revenue in our first full year, and we're on track to probably double that in 2014. Suffices to say, you are a big fan, or what was the guy on Saturday Night Live? Podcasting has been very, very good to you, right?
Indeed it has, yes.
So that caught my eye. So I guess we should start off first things first. Tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Well, it's called Bright Ideas, and as the name suggests, the whole goal of the podcast is for me to extract bright ideas that are actionable and usable from the guests that I interview on my show. The theme is all around the concept of entrepreneurship and online marketing. And I've now interviewed, I think I'm actually at episode number 99 that I just recorded the other day. So episode number 100 will get recorded on Monday.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Being that a lot of people don't make it past episode 7. Well, when you say you've done over 100K, how is that? You know, is that affiliate sales? Is it just clients that are coming in? What's the breakdown of that?
You know, I actually just published a blog post that gives the entire breakdown of every penny of that income. So I'm going to pull it up here.
All right.
And it's called My 2013 Income Report. If you want to put it in your show notes, by all means, feel free to do so.
Absolutely.
So sales of my own information products were $54,721. Infusionsoft affiliate income was $14,772. Consulting was $14,500. I run a mastermind group, which generated $3,000. Other affiliate commissions, $11,633. I make income. I have one site that's monetized with AdSense, so that really doesn't have anything to do with my podcast, but that was $8,450. And I don't generally do one-on-one coaching, but somebody talked me into it, and I charge them $200 for an hour on the phone, so that's $200.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, how much of that can you attribute back to your podcast?
A large portion of it. So Bright Ideas, when I first started it, I didn't do written posts. All I did was podcasts. So my audience started to build as a result of those podcasts. You know, if I had a product launch coming up or I talk about Infusionsoft. I've interviewed a lot of Infusionsoft users. All the information product stuff, it all indirectly is a result of the podcast, because the podcast, really all it is for me is another method of getting people to join my mailing list. The secret, of course, because I don't monetize my podcast with ads, not at this point in time, like some other folks do. So the revenue is all indirect, and the podcast really helps me to build the list. And it's the list that enables me to make all the money.
Well, and that was the thing I noticed, that when I listened to a couple episodes today, and there's not even really a lot of promotion of your own stuff.
No, not a bunch. I wrote a book and I published it in December, and that went really, really well. And in the episodes that I'm recording now, which of course you're not hearing yet because I have a lag between recording and publishing, there is a bumper at the beginning where I say, you know, hey, quick announcement, and I tell people about my book. And that is the only quote unquote commercial that is in the entire podcast.
I guess the question is then, how are people, if, you know, they're listening to your podcast, they just decide... Because you do mention your website, just I think it's either in the intro or the outro or at the end where they just say brightideas.co.
And yeah.
Is it just they like, wow, that was good stuff. I wonder what else they have kind of thing you think going on?
I think that there's probably a bit of that. You know, I do always at the end of the episode, hey, if you want to get the show notes, come to this link. And throughout, you know, you haven't listened to all of my podcasts. Mm-hmm. In other episodes, I have more directly promoted things. I have had various calls to action. I'm continually experimenting, actually, with things. One of the things I'm planning on trying is integrating some mobile marketing, because I know that a lot of people are listening from a mobile device, and I just haven't actually done this yet, but I plan to, and that's to, you know, get them to text in a certain number, a certain word to a certain number, and then I can trigger automation as a result of that, you know, them joining the list and getting a free something or other. But honestly, I think the podcast has been most helpful for me in engaging my audience, because when your content is only available in writing, as I'm sure you know, David, it's harder to differentiate yourself from all the other people who are blogging, because you're just words, you know, you're black letters on a white screen.
Right.
And there's not a whole lot of tonality or personality or inflection or anything in that. And so I think that the podcast has been exceedingly helpful in a couple of areas. One is building trust with the audience, so that encourages them to buy things. I think that people, there's a familiarity that comes from, because I publish an episode every Monday, and so people have come to expect that. The other thing the podcast has been really good for, and business opportunities has come from this, is networking. I think the dirty little secret, not the dirty little secret, the unknown secret of podcasting is it is the best networking tool I have ever found in my entire life.
Are you guys writing notes? Do you hear what he's saying here? I'm just smiling listening to this. He's building confidence with his audience. He's building trust. He's networking with people. He's consistent. He comes out every Monday doing everything right. I love this interview.
It's pretty easy to get almost anybody, you know, asterisk, to come on your show. And when you do that, you've got the seed of a relationship and all sorts of good things happen from that.
Right. And then it's just a matter of occasionally following up and, you know, it's like any relationship. You have to put time into it, but like you said, it's the seed
yep.
that's been planted.
Absolutely.
Do you have any kind of comparison? When you started, because you've been an entrepreneur since 2001, so this isn't, you've been online for a while. Was there a time before, I guess you did because you sold your one business, before podcasting and after podcasting that you can kind of compare?
Yeah, when I had the other business, I really was, you know, as much as we did have a better website than our competitors in that industry and in that niche, relative to what I'm doing now, it was an online brochure. So I really don't consider myself as being online pre about 2011. And knowing what I know now, if I was running the old company, I would have, I think, been able to achieve more if I'd been podcasting, because there is companies, for example, that I would have wanted to have as customers that had I gone at them, had I contacted them with the, hey, I'd like to interview you on my show, you know, the doors would have opened easily like they do now. But they, of course, back then I was just cold calling, so the doors did not open easily. And I think it would have made life a whole lot easier. So the one thing, you know, that I encourage, like, for example, I run a mastermind group for other marketing consultants. And these guys are all struggling with client attraction. And I'm every meeting we do each month, I'm like, guys, start a podcast. Because
did you hear that? Start a podcast.
Because it is absolutely the best door opener you'll ever find. And it's a way of demonstrating your authority. Because if you interview other people, which is my style, I don't go and do a monologue podcast. But if you do that and you ask smart questions, not only does your guest think you're smart, but so does the audience. And that never is a bad thing.
And the thing that I like about your podcast is it's one of those for me that I almost can't listen to in the car because I have to take notes. And I know it's one of your goals. You kind of mentioned it in the intro and stuff that you want actionable items. And so I was listening to the one with, and I forget her name, the woman about Pinterest. That was just like, here's what you can do, and very much just, here's what you need to do, here's how you do it, here's where you do it. And I was like, whoa, I got to go get a piece of paper, hold on a second. So it's really good stuff.
And I do that on purpose because I actually use my podcast as my greatest source of education for myself. And so when I'm recording those episodes, I'm writing notes like mad because I want to learn what my guest is talking about and I want to be able to implement it in my business. And in order for me to be able to do that, I have to ask questions to the degree that I do. And I guess happily, I get a lot of people who write me emails who've listened to the show and they say, you know, hey, one of the things I love about your podcast is that, it, you know, like you could charge money for this stuff, Trent. It's that good. I mean, it's step by step by step. You really drill down with your guests and so many other people. You know, they just kind of talk about concepts, but they don't ever talk about, well, how do I make that happen? So apologies that you can't drive your car. I mean, you can drive your car, but you almost have to have a separate MP3 recorder ready to go so you can stop the podcast and then make a note of whatever it was that you just learned.
So think about that. I mean, one of the reasons that I am where I am today, in means of why I'm not doing podcast consulting full time, is I got boatloads of student loans, right? So that's one way to, quote, get edumacated, is to go to college. Think about this. Start a podcast and you can interview people that will school you. Is that even a verb? School you? I got me some schooling. And so what I did here, you'll hear coming up, I'm like, all right, I got a marketing guru on the phone with me. A guy that's getting paid buku bucks, who's leading roundtables on marketing. And I'm like, all right, I got to suck some knowledge out of this guy's head. And one of the things I'm going to mention here is there's an app. If you're using an iPhone, I believe it's just called Sound Recorder. he said, looking for his phone and can't find it anywhere in front of me, that I constantly use to take notes when I'm in the car and I'm listening to somebody. It's called voice memos. And I use that all the time. I just hit that and say whatever it is I just learned in the podcast. So think about that. You know, you may think, well, I can't go back to school. Well, you can go back to school by starting a podcast and get information from the top, top people. Let us continue.
That's about it. It's like have the iPad in the passenger seat so you could hit their little voice memo recorder and keep going. A lot of people that are listening to this aren't, you know, they're really new to marketing, and you know, maybe it's whatever their job is, they're new to podcasting, they're new to online, having any kind of presence, things like that. Do you have any kind of, you know, marketing 101 for somebody who's like, boy, I guess I should have some sort of marketing plan, or I know I want to grow my audience, I just don't know how? You know, any kind of advice you could give somebody who's really just starting out of the gate?
Yeah, I do, because I get asked that question a lot as well. The first thing that I think that someone should do is they really need to figure out who their audience is. And there is no, so let's say that, you know, you're, because in a lot of the people in my tribe, for example, are marketing consultants or new entrepreneurs that are looking for a business to start. And I encourage them to become marketing consultants. And so if you're going to sell marketing services to small businesses, you really need to figure out a target audience so that you can have a more relevant message, less competition, and the ability to charge higher prices. So how do you do that? The very first thing that I suggest people do is they need to talk to people. They need to contact people via, you know, LinkedIn or Twitter or email or whatever way, and say something along the lines of, hey, I'm doing some research on this niche to identify what factors are enabling some companies to grow so much faster than others, you know, some marketing factors. And I'd love to have an opportunity to ask you some questions. And as a thank you for your time, will only be, you know, maybe 10 minutes, I'll make sure that you get an advanced copy of the report. So that is a wonderful way, a non-threatening way, to be able to have one-on-one conversations with people that are in a niche that you think you're going into. And all sorts of good things will happen when you have those conversations. First of all, you're going to learn a lot. You're going to plant seeds for future relationships, which could eventually be customers. Don't try and sell them on that first call, because that would really be a betrayal of the trust that they gave you when they set the call up.
Right.
But you need, my point is this, you need to talk to your target market to get it figured out if they're really going to be a good target market for you to go after. And then once you've done that, you're going to have an FAQ, so to speak, of problems, because a lot of what you're going to be asking people is, well, you know, what are you struggling with? What's a challenge in your business? What's working well? What's not working well? And that will equip you with this. There'll be a commonality to the answers. And then that's going to allow you to create a foundation of content to get yourself going. And so you could, you know, write blog posts, you could create podcast episodes, you could re-interview some of those people, you could interview other people that you haven't spoken with yet, but you need to get a found in the world that we live in today. You need to create and it doesn't have to be huge. I mean, just a couple of podcast episodes, a couple of blog posts, but you need some way to be able, for people who are checking you out for the first time, to get a good first impression. And you need, and so that content, that educational value added content, is how you're going to do that. So in my opinion, that is the most important first step to take. And then of course, once you have that foundation of content to really be in business, of course, you got to have a customer. So now you've got a place that you can send people to. Now, if you're networking on LinkedIn, or you're making cold emails, or you're doing whatever it is, maybe you're reaching out over Twitter, you've got these blog posts that A, solve problems, and problems you know that your target market has because you talk to them, and B, make you look like you're knowledgeable and you're an expert in that particular area, which you are at that point, relative to the companies or the potential customers that would work with you. Because the secret that I think many new people don't realize is that the average small business owner who's running, you know, a restaurant or an accounting firm or a plumber firm or whatever, they hardly know anything about online marketing. Most of them don't even know what WordPress is. So you don't have to have a whole foundation of knowledge to be able to be relative to them a huge expert. And now you're in a position where you can actually start to get customers. And that's when the magic starts to happen. That's when the real learning starts to happen.
Keep in mind that you made a great point there that I'm going to add to. Sometimes we don't start things because we think we need to be the uber. And by that, I mean uber expert. You don't. When I teach a class, if I teach, let's say, Microsoft Excel 1, all I need to know is enough material for Microsoft Excel 1 and 2. So if somebody wants to paint outside the lines, you just need to know a little more than your student. So if you're thinking to yourself, well, I can't start a podcast, I'm not a big shot smarty pants. Well, maybe you're a medium-sized shot smarty pants, and maybe that's all you need to do. Keep that in mind. And then by interviewing experts, maybe you'll become a big shot smarty pants.
Absolutely. I know another question I get a lot is, you know, there are so many platforms between, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, et cetera, Reddit. Do you know of any tools that would help somebody figure out where is my audience? Like, should I start at Facebook? Should I start with Twitter? It's like, I don't know. It's like, you know, go where your audience is. And they're like, well, how do I figure that out?
You just ask them. I would reach out to people over Twitter. Twitter is I used to really despise Twitter because I didn't care what people were eating for dinner and what movie they were going to. But Twitter has evolved and the users have evolved immensely. And it's actually, from all of the social platforms, it is my number one source of traffic. It's also a great way to be able to connect with other people. And so, you know, start figuring out who is tweeting about, like, use Twitter search and type in some keywords and figure out who's talking about the stuff that you think your tribe might be interested in or the tribe that you want to build. And then you just start reaching out to those people. You go to their websites, you can message them on Facebook, you can message them on Twitter, and you can just start asking them simple questions like, hey, you know, what's your favorite blog? Who do you follow? And you're going to be able to very, very quickly figure out where your tribe hangs out online, and you're going to be able to start to interact with these people, which is key.
And notice he didn't say, go to these people and go, hey, I got a podcast. No. Reach out to them first, build the relationship, then say, oh, by the way, I have a podcast.
Now, you did mention your book. I was actually reading up on it today. So you just put this out in December, right?
I did. Yeah, it's my first book. It's called The Digital Marketing Handbook. And people who want to learn more about it can go to brightideas.co/book and you can get a free chapter.
Very cool. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, after, you know, having this first year that went pretty well and interviewing as many people as I did who are all very successful in their own right, I thought it would be a good idea for me to write a book. And I had a couple of different objectives with the book. One, I wanted to make money on the book, and I also wanted it to position me further as an expert, and I also wanted it to potentially help me to land clients. I went and chatted with a friend of mine, a guy by the name of Nathan Berry, who'd written a couple of books. And I said, you know, how do you write a book? And he just said, well, I start off and I make a table of contents and I just do a brain dump of everything I think I should put in the book. And then I start to organize it and then I break it down day by day and I just start writing it. And, you know, you're talking to a guy here who got a C- in English in high school. So I was no literary scholar by any stretch of the imagination. And I managed to write my book in about 40 hours, I think it was.
Really?
Yeah. I dictated most of it. And it was, you know, most days in an hour and a half, I could crank out 5,000 words. And if you break your book down, the reason I think books are perceived to be so hard to write is because they're so big. You know, there's 40 or 50,000 words, but I regularly crank out 2,000 to 3,000 word blog posts. Well, guess what? 12 of those blog posts is a book. So if you take your structure, and I used Scrivener, which is an application for writers to help me do this, mm-hmm. and you break it down into bite-sized chunks and then develop a writing schedule, it's not nearly as hard as you think. And my book is a how-to book. So, you know, I was only teaching stuff that I had already figured out how to do on my own and it had worked for me, or I had learned from a guest that I had interviewed and it had worked for them and it had started to work for me if I had implemented it. And so I just basically created a manual of step one, here's what you got to do. Step two, step three, step four. If you'd like to build a business like I've built, or you'd like to use online marketing, digital marketing, to put client attraction on autopilot, which is kind of the tagline for the book, then you need to read this book. And I just treated it as a step-by-step process.
And I see, in addition, I mean, you can just buy the book, which in itself sounds like it's just chock full of info. But you also have a couple different packages here with videos and all sorts of fun stuff. So is just for anybody who might be skeptical, because I've seen books like this, is this just repurposed blog posts that we can get for free on your website?
No.
Okay, I'm going to say I didn't think so, but I know somebody's thinking, oh, I've heard of this, because I don't know about you. I've done that before where you buy the book and the person has... gained your trust through their blog post. You're like, oh, this is going to be great. I can't wait to see this. And then you get, I've already read this once.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, there was a lot of content. I would say probably 85% of the content in the book had never been published anywhere else.
Very, very cool. Now, is this just available on your website, or is this a Kindle book as well? Or
no, I purposely did not go that route. It's only available on my website. And the reason that I did the tiered pricing, so you can, there's three different tiers and you get more and more videos and interviews with the higher tiers, is again, was advice from my friend Nathan Berry, because it made a massive difference to the amount of revenue that we generated. If we did about $17,000 in sales in the first 10 days.
Nice.
And I would say that it would have only been a fifth or less of that if we didn't have the two, like the by far the most popular tier was the $249 option. Because a lot of the concepts in the book lend themselves very well to further explanation in a whiteboard video. So I created, as you might guess, a bunch of whiteboard videos. And I also included a bunch of interviews with other people who had success, using the same principles that we talked about in the book. And that sold really, really well. People have been very complimentary, a lot of nice emails from them. And so it was a very good experience.
Gotcha. And you'd mentioned Scrivener. That's, if I remember right, that's just a Mac only thing, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
You'd have to check.
Because I've heard that before with...
It's actually both Mac and PC. And I got to tell you here, while I have your ear, I've heard so many people talk about this software. Ray Edwards, Mingyang Fogarty, Grammar Girl, has said, hey, I've heard about 30 people talk about this software. And if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/Scrivener, oh, that's a fun word, isn't it? Don't use that word in your podcast because you got to spell it. Scrivener. We'll take you there. And it is available now. From what I understand, the Mac version was the original version, and it is a little more robust than the PC version. But from what I saw on their website, they are getting the PC version tuned up so it will match the Mac one. But again, schoolofpodcasting.com/Scrivener will take you right over there. You can actually get it at Amazon, which is where that link will point you there. And of course, it's a way to support the show. If you buy that through that link, I earn a small commission, but I am going to be buying that as well to help finish the books that I've started last year.
People have put together books.
Yeah, I have no clue because I'm a Mac only guy.
There you go. How much time do you put into an episode?
About 7 minutes longer than the episode itself.
Okay.
I do almost no guest research because my format is more or less the same structure, same type of questions each time. I'm very good at doing the interview on the fly. Post-production for me is literally about, like I say, 7 minutes. Roughly 7 to 10 minutes later, the episode is done, compiled, and uploaded to Amazon S3.
Very cool. Now, you are, what do you use then? Because obviously you're playing your intros and things like that. What's the technology behind creating your podcast then?
Sure. So I'm talking right now on a Heil PR40 mic, which is the Cadillac of podcaster mics. I suspect you're probably on the same mic.
Actually, in this interview, I was using an Audio-Technica 2100. And for the record, right now, I recommend the Audio-Technica 2005 It's the same exact mic, except it's black instead of silver. And right now it's about 10 bucks cheaper. And so if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/2005, the Audio-Technica 2100, we've been promoting it so much, myself and podcasters like Ray Ortega from podcasterstudio.com and Daniel J. Lewis from the audacity to podcast.com. We're actually creating a need for that microphone. And of course, supply and demand, the price is going up. So if you want the same microphone with a cooler thumb switch, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/2005. But the great thing is, when I was on John Lee Dumas's show, he thought I was on a high LPR 40. Here, Trent thought I was on a high LPR 40. That's a $300 microphone. And the 2100 goes for about 50 bucks. Isn't that cool?
And I run that into a Behringer mixing board. I record to two places. One of them, so I do all my interviews audio only on Skype. And so I use Call Recorder for Skype as my backup source. My primary source goes onto a Roland external MP3 player. And as soon as I am done the episode, I record the outro and I record the intro. So that takes, you know, like another 2 or 3 minutes. Pop the SD card out, goes into the Mac. I fire up GarageBand. Drag those three audio files onto the appropriate place within GarageBand because it's got a, like my fancy musical intro and outro.
Right.
Export, and then I tag it with ID3 tag editor, and then I upload it to S3 and they feed, and I use the Blueberry Podcasting plugin, and so that sends it over to iTunes automatically with all the tags.
Are you using Blueberry or PodTrack or somebody for stats? Or that's the only thing I've always heard. I used S3 for a while as a media host, and that was the only thing I found rather kind of dysfunctional about it, was there was a hard time getting any kind of download stats.
Yeah, I get my download stats from Blueberry. I use the plugin for WordPress, and then I pay the $5 a month for their stats package.
Got it.
You know what? But I honestly, aside from just raw downloads, I don't know how much value the podcasting stats are, because even if someone downloads it and doesn't ever even listen to it, it still counts as a download. So if you have any insight onto, you know, how I can get more better stats that are meaningful, I'm all ears.
Yeah, but tell if they can listen to it. Yeah, that's the only place that you can see that on is Stitcher. And according to Stitcher at the New Media Expo, the average is 48%.
Is it? Okay.
And I was like, wow, that's somewhat disappointing.
So that means people are probably stopped listening to you and I already.
That's it. Awesome.
Does that mean we can tell dirty jokes now that no one's listening anymore?
That's it. Well, you've sold me on the book. I'm going to go buy your book at this point. I'm like, because I was listening to your podcast is working well. I was listening today, and do you do this where you know you're getting sucked in and you can't help it? Sucked in isn't a right phrase. That sounds negative. You know, your marketing is working, I guess is a better way of putting that. Because I listen to your podcast. It's quality stuff. I've been on your page here reading about your book throughout the day. And I'm like, you seem like a really nice guy. I know we just met today. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm going to pull the trigger on this probably. So,
yeah, well, I thank you for saying that, first of all. And as I mentioned earlier on, when you asked me, how does my podcast pay me? You know, I think that this is a prime example of one of the ways, assuming that you actually buy the book, but yeah. People who listen and they listen to my voice and the way that I speak and the things that I speak about, and they make a gut opinion of, you know, I can trust Trent or I don't like him. And if they don't like me, they don't ever tune in again. And if they trust me, then they either keep listening and or they buy some of my stuff.
And for the record, I did. I will. I haven't read it yet. But I definitely bought it, and I'll be talking about that in the future.
And I don't really have to overtly ask them to, per se. I mean, I just don't think you necessarily need to. I think people, if they're interested in your stuff and they're interested in what you're doing, they're going to want to come and learn more and about you and see what other stuff you have available. And hey, we live in a consumer world, man. People want to buy things. So that was one of my greatest mistakes with Bright Ideas, is I didn't attempt to monetize soon enough. I should have monetized much sooner, because as soon as I did, people started buying stuff.
Now, keep in mind here, I want to point out that, number one, that's the second person we've heard this year that said his audience was glad that he started charging them for stuff. George Harab said that. But also notice, let's go back to the original beginning of this interview. Trent doesn't beat people over the head. This Sunday, buy my stuff. Ah. He's not, he's talking to his audience. He's giving them valuable information, information they can act on. And then they're like, wow, where can I get more of this actionable stuff that will solve the problems that Trent discovered when he interviewed people in his niche? Got it? Okay. It's not just, hey, here's my podcast, 27 minutes of commercials and 4 minutes of content. That does not work, my friends.
And the real funny part was, David, was that I got more thank yous.
Here we go.
And testimonials.
Yep.
From people that bought stuff.
Preach it, brother.
Than I ever did for Amen. All the stuff I gave away for free.
That's interesting. Now, that's amazing, yeah. Dave. Why do you think that is?
I think it's perception of value. When people buy things, they read them. When people get things for free, oh, I'll get to that later, because there's no sense of urgency. There's no emotional need to, quote unquote, get your money's worth.
That's why I have a folder on my computer called Marketing Crap. And when I get somebody's free download, guess what folder it goes into?
And so when there's no deadline, when there's no incentive to get you to consume a piece of content, I think more than likely it doesn't get consumed. Like, I get free stuff sent to me. And most often I don't read it. I don't read a lot of other people's blogs, you know, with any great regularity, because, you know, I can get to it later. But when I buy something, yeah, I usually consume it.
Yeah, that's true. Any horror stories or lessons learned from your, you know, time here podcasting that you go, oh boy, I wish I could do that one again?
Make sure that you have two recording sources.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing, and I put one of them right in front of my face, and I literally stare at it while I'm talking to make sure that the little red light is red when I'm recording.
That it's not blinking.
Because there is nothing worse. And I had it happen once. When you get to the end of a really great interview, only to realize that it wasn't a recorded interview. It was just a conversation and nobody will ever hear it. That.
Don't take it from me, kids. Take it from everybody else who has said that. Two devices going recording this. It's called.
Sucks.
Yeah. It calls the call.
Have you ever had a call?
It's called the call of shame. You have to call that person back and go, hey, that was a great interview. And it's funny because, wait, I'm going to play you. The version we're listening to right now is my backup. Yeah, this one got garbled because, well, it wasn't the software's fault. It was operator error. But he's using call recorder, and I'm going to ask him about that now.
Call recorder, for lack of a better phrase, crap out on you?
No, never.
I'm going to say, as far as I know, that's pretty rock solid. But nonetheless, you never want to take that chance.
Yeah, I find that it always works, but I don't find that the audio quality is as good as what I output to my MP3 player. There. Sometimes on call recorder, I get an echo it just doesn't sound right. Whereas the MP3 player always records beautiful, crisp, clear sound.
Awesome. Well, Trent, I'm going to let you off the hook here. And thank you so much for sharing your insights. And I wish you continued success with your book and all endeavors as you go forward. And I think you're a great example of how podcasting can boost your business. Just like you said, let alone you're going to learn more about your potential client as well as your current clients, which is just going to help you make better content. It kind of snowballs after a while.
It really does. You know, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, boy, oh boy, I really should start a podcast. Here's what I don't want you to do. Don't spend time getting ready to get ready. Mm. What you should do is get a $20 microphone.
No, 40.
Get Skype, email somebody or reach out to them on Twitter and say, I'd like to interview you on my show, and get the first episode recorded.
That's it.
That's it. That's how you become a podcaster.
You can't improve until you start.
Correct.
And there you go. Absolutely. Well, you can find Trent over at brightideas.co. And again, if you want to check out his book, it's brightideas.co/book. That's easy to remember. And Trent, thanks for coming on the show, man.
David, it's been my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
There we go. That was some fun stuff right there. And that's some great advice. When I first started off in podcasting, Marcus Couch, who does many things. He's wppluginsa2z.com. That's A-T-O-Z or Z if you're from Canada. And he and I used to always practice with Skype and all sorts of other stuff. Now I play with Ray Ortega sometimes with Google Plus stuff. Find a buddy and say, hey, I need to work on this stuff. Now, I mentioned that this is a backup copy of this. Now, I'm on a PC, so I use a thing called PowerGrammo. And one of the good news about one of the things I do is I play a lot with stuff. I'm always testing new technology, always trying to find the absolute best tools to use in podcasting, but consequently, nothing ever stays the same. And so when I recorded Trent's interview using the PowerGrammo software on my PC, all I got was Trent. I would hear him, and then I would hear him again, and I would hear him in the left channel, and then I would hear him in the right channel. Now, this is a mono podcast, so you'll just hear him keep repeating himself, but this is what it sounded like.
All right, well, we are here in...
Except that's the wrong button. There we go.
Hey, David. Hey, David. I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing well, thank you.
Right, that's helpful.
How about yourself? How about yourself?
Okay, so you guys get the point.
Oh, yeah, how was that?
Yeah, it wasn't very good, Trent. That's what I'm saying. And so, luckily, I had, in my case, the Roland R-05 going, and I've got videos on YouTube that show you how to record this. You don't really need software to record that. Now, I always use two things again, because like Trent said, there's nothing worse than going up and realizing that your recorder is on pause. Yeah, and you're like, oh no, it's blinking. The blinking red lights of death. Right? So keep that in mind. But Trent, again, thank you so much. I plan on reading your book. I have a note right here. Throw this on my Kindle so I can read it. Next up, I was on the Quality Living Made Simple podcast and with Josh Rivers, and I always like to promote anybody who helps promote me. So here is Josh talking about the fact that I'm always playing with toys and such.
But anyway, so I definitely love the way that you present yourself. I definitely very open and honest and all that. But one of the things I love is on a lot of your podcasts, you like to try things. And so that's kind of the way that I kind of view you, as far as kind of set you apart from a lot of the others, is you're always trying new things. Like with podcasting, you're trying new technology, new software. You have your weekly web tools. And so you're trying all those things, and then your logical weight loss. You're trying all kinds of different things there. And so I love that, because you're trying these different things, giving your perspective and saying, hey, this might be able to work for you, or this is definitely not, and don't even give it the time of day. And so I love that.
One of my little mantras is constant improvement. And if you just say, oh, no, I'm as good as I can get, this is it, well, then you're just going to go backwards, because life keeps going on and things like that. And especially if I'm doing anything with technology, you have to keep up with it. I mean, that's my day job, is I teach people basically Microsoft Office and other software titles. And so about the time I think, okay, I've got Microsoft Office 2010 mastered, then they come out with 2013 and Windows 8 and Windows 8.1. And so every time I turn around, it's just something new is coming along. So that just kind of got me just used to constantly reading and trying new things. And if you don't try new things, then you're missing out on the opportunity of learning something, because sometimes it just doesn't work and you're like, okay, well, that was a great waste of 45 minutes. But on the other hand, you now know that that doesn't work. And if you try something else, you're like, hey, okay, that did work, and I can now do this, and I can save time here, or, you know, this is going to help me in some other area of my life. If you don't try anything, then you never, you know, you're restricting yourself from growth. There we go. Check it out. Quality Living Made Simple. Thank you, Josh, so much. Josh has a great book, by the way, if you want to check that out. It's called Leave Nothing Undone. You can find that out at Quality Living Made Simple. And what a great name for a podcast, right? Anybody want to guess what his podcast is about? It's called Quality Living Made Simple. Could it be about, I don't know, quality living made simple? Yeah, there you go. So thanks again, Josh, for having me on the show. And if you would like me to appear on your podcast, I love to talk about, in this case, he was talking about my lifestyle, how I try to balance my life and podcasting and things like that. I'll talk just about anything. I love to talk podcasting, but anything else you would love to talk to me about, go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/contact, and you can find all the information there. All right, next up. And if you're going, hey, Dave, where's the music and stuff that you normally play? I guess I could have done this. And I'm doing most of this live today. Here's a little transition music. Ooh, it makes me think. I'm playing with toys, hence like Josh was talking about here. And I'm doing this with Black Cat, Black Cat Systems Bite Soundbite today on my iPad. So I can do fun stuff like, you know, I can play the bell and stuff like that. It's just not, you know, it's interesting. And with that interview I had before with Trent and myself, I realized my volume wasn't as loud as I had hoped it was going to be. And I had to ride the volume knob on that, which I will fix later in post-production with a little compression. But I want to talk, Trent mentioned that he uses Amazon S3. And I want to quote my friend Rob Walsh from Libsyn, who is my preferred media host, who's the podcast you're listening to right now. Remember Madge from Palmolive? You're soaking in it. Well, yeah, and everybody that's like 22 is like, what? Anyway, this podcast is hosted on Libsyn, and Rob said that there's an Amazon S3 podcast, and they use, yeah, Libsyn for hosting. So let's talk about, here's what you need to look for in a media host. We talked about this a couple weeks ago on the Ask the Podcast Coach show, which you can find every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/live or look for Ask the Podcast Coach in your friendly neighborhood podcast catcher, iTunes, Stitcher, et cetera, et cetera. And that is media hosting. There are two types of hosting. One is for your website, and I recommend HostGator for that. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/hosting, use the coupon code PODCASTCOACH, all one word, you'll get 25% off at HostGator, and that's media hosting. That's at host your website. We're talking about media hosting, not website hosting, media. This is for your audio or your video. And I recommend two companies, Libsyn, that is Libsyn. It's short for Liberated Syndication. You can use another coupon code, SOP free, for a free month when you sign up there. And another one is Blueberry, blubry.com. Now, why do I like these? Well, here are the criteria. And I've talked about this in the past, and so I'm going to kind of repeat this a little bit. And that is, number one, you want unlimited storage. Unlimited storage. I have 391 episodes of the School of Podcasting on my media host. They don't limit how much I can store. Now, a company like Podomatic limits your storage. And what people don't realize is, like, if they say they'll limit your storage so you can only have so many hours of podcast time or so many megabytes or gigabytes. It doesn't matter. If it's any limit, you are limited. And I don't want any limits. I want a podcast till I'm dead. I'll be like, podcasting since 2005. This is episode number 1462. Today we're talking about Feedburner finally going away, right? And podcasting from my watch. Whatever. I want unlimited storage so I can say, if you want the past 4,000 downloads, you can get them by going to schoolofpodcasting.com. Unlimited storage, unlimited bandwidth. So I want to store my entire back catalog. And both Blueberry and Libsyn let you upload X amount. So there's a small limit on how much you can upload. And you might say, but Dave, you said no limits. Come on now. But you just pick how much you can upload a month. And then it's there forever for people to download. Unlimited bandwidth, meaning it doesn't matter how many listeners you have. If you have 10 or 10,000 or 100,000 grillion, trillion, gazillion downloads, it doesn't matter. So with something like Podomatic or other ones, there are other ones out there, they will limit you not only how much can you store, but how many listeners you can have. Because when you see bandwidth limit, that means we're going to limit the number of people that can download your show. That, my friends, is not acceptable. Because when the ball starts rolling, I want to have to go, oops, I went over my bandwidth. So unlimited storage so I can have my entire back catalog. Unlimited bandwidth. And then here's a good one. Stats. Reliable stats that give me a somewhat clear picture of how many downloads are going. I know Trent said a download doesn't equal a listen. Yeah, technically true. But on the other hand, why are you going through the hoop to get my content if you're not going to consume it? I like to think happy thoughts that you're everybody that downloads it is listening. So you need some stats. So Amazon S3 has no stats. So he has to use the Blueberry stats, which are $5, or you can get them for free. But it's an extra step. Why not just have a host that has the stats built in, like Libsyn or Blueberry? So unlimited storage, unlimited bandwidth, stats, and good stats. Podbean stats are caca a poo poo. That's one that it's like, well, okay, Podbean does fit one too. And they have three kind of. And then the fourth one is I want to pay a fee that I know what I'm going to pay. Both Blueberry and Libsyn, you pick your plan. You say, look, I'm going to podcast once a week for 30 minutes a week. I can see that I only need this much space. It's $12. It's $15. It's $20 a month. And then you know that it doesn't matter if you get 10 downloads, 1,000 downloads. It doesn't matter. It's one fee. It's bankable. Amazon S3, they just lowered their price again, and it sounds like they'll almost pay you to host your files. It's so unbelievably cheap. But realize, I have 391 episodes, and some of those downloads are coming from episode number one. And if I was on Amazon S3, I would be charged for that. And episode 2, 3, 4, 5, 110, 65, 227, 315. Anybody downloading my back catalog, cha-ching, 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 and that adds up. So I started off my first Amazon month when I was testing it, because that's what I do, to make sure you don't go through down this rabbit hole. I think my first one was like, I don't know, $1.70. And I was like, this is awesome, because at the time, Libsyn was like $15 a month. I'm like, I'm saving $13.30 a month. Well, guess what? After I put out a few episodes and I had a back catalog, my last bill was over $41. And that's why I don't think Amazon S3 is a good solution. You want unlimited storage, unlimited bandwidth, stats, and something you can budget. We're going to talk about budget here in a second. And then the fifth thing you're looking for, can I get away from them if they decide to go in a direction that I don't like? And in the case of Libsyn and Blueberry, you can't. In the case of Podbean, they're the devil, baby. They're awful. You're stuck. And if you have, if they have submitted, or if you have submitted their your feed, and I don't want to get too technical here, but if you've tied your iTunes listing to your Podbean account, I guess is a better way of saying that, you can't leave easily, and you're going to lose some of your audience. And you can Google it, and you can see where it says, no, all I have to do is put this code in that says, hey, iTunes, my feed is not over at Podomatic over here. It's over here at Libsyn or Blueberry. Yeah, there's no place in Podomatic to put that code. And so iTunes is never going to see it. They're the devil. And there are many other, there's Podomatic, there's all sorts of other, there was one, it was like, I don't know, Christian Cast, there was, you know, blah, 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 free hosting media, you name it. I've been out there, I've seen them. If you think you found one that's worth, the only one I can think of that's remotely like my third string kind of is Podbean. And their stats are pretty junk. But I tested them, and here's the thing. You can, if you pay, you can't use the free paid version. You can't use the free version on Podbean. You have to use the paid version, and then you can put that special I'm moving away from you code into it. Podomatic doesn't give you that option. So that's the things you need when you're looking for a media host. And if you want to avoid all the common pitfalls of podcasting, come out. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com, click on the Join Now button, and I will walk you through step-by-step through self-paced tutorials on exactly what to do and what to avoid, and I will answer any question you have. So I will also have a video out at schoolofpodcasting.com/392, because just to give you an example, there's a limit of 15 gigs at Podomatic. And if I had, and 500 megabytes of storage, and if I had 27 episodes, I could only have 569 downloads. If I had 40 downloads, I would only have 384 downloads before they shut down my service. This is why. Because when people find you, they're going to go, oh my gosh, I love this podcast. It's giving me actionable items. It's inspiring me. It's educating me. It's making me laugh. It's making me cry. It's moving me. It's making my life better. I want every single episode. Nope, sorry. Because I decided to cut corners. And with that, let's bring on Reverend Jackson. Brothers and sisters, can I have your ear for a second? Can I have your ear for a second? I realize that times are tough. I gotta stand up. Give me my microphone. I gotta tell you, I was on the Podcasters Roundtable last week. And with no offense to my other panelists, why is it that we will spend $80, $200, $300 on a Rolling Stones ticket? Because they're the Stones, it's Mick and Keith. But when their new album comes out, I go, ugh, $7. I don't know if I can do that. That's crazy. That's crazy. Why is it that I used to spend $1.50 a day, 5 days a week on Mountain Dew for my 20 ounces of, you know, the nectar of the gods that is Mountain Dew? Guess what, kids? That's $7.50 a week. That's $30 a month. There's your hosting. Quit drinking Mountain Dew and you can podcast. What if you're a Starbucks person? $3.50 for a stinking Frappuccino. Are you kidding me? Are you seriously? $3.50? How long does it take you to drink that? What kind of pleasure are you getting? You're gonna pee it out in 20 minutes. $3.50. $17.50 a week. $70 a month on Starbucks. Are you kidding me? And you can't spend $10 on hosting? You can't find the fee for the School of Podcasting? Go big or go home, kids. What if you go to the movies? The average price of a movie ticket, I don't know where they got this on the internet, $8 a month? No, I don't think so. When I go, it's like 11. $11 a ticket. When I take my wife, it's 22. When we get popcorn, there's another 20. I'm looking at $42 and I haven't even put my butt in the seat yet. Oh wait, we gotta throw in some Coke. $50 to go see Grudge Match with Stallone and De Niro? Are you kidding me? Stallone can't even talk anymore.
Hey, what are you gonna do? She loved me.
Horrible movie. $50 down the drain. The good news is I had a free ticket and we didn't get any popcorn. It cost me $11 and it was the worst $11 I've spent in a long time. Please quit saying you don't have the money to podcast. What if you eat out? I took myself, my wife, and my stepson. We thought we'd have a nice night out. We went to Longhorn, $65. We had to wait 40 minutes. So many times we say, oh, we have to eat out because, you know, we don't have time to eat at home. I had 40 minutes to wait in line at Longhorn to be sat by the kitchen where the kitchen help was so loud they interrupted our dinner. That was $65 well sent. Had to wait for another 5 minutes for a refill on my water. That's not good value. Do you hear me? Can you put your hand on the speaker? Can you feel me, brothers and sisters? It's time to go big or go home. Do you understand what I mean by this? Quit going, should I go for the $5 stat or the $7? It's talking about $2. $2! It's a value. Podcasting will bring things into your life. It will bring business if you're in a business. It will bring you friends. It will bring you people that think like you do. Do you need some of those? Are you tired of arguing with everybody in the planet? Quit doing it. Do a podcast and the people that think like you will be attracted to you. I'm telling you true. Don't believe me. Go listen to the other 391 episodes. Do you feel me, brothers and sisters? I said it in 2005. Podcasting is going to change the world. And it is. Every single day, one download at a time. But you got to step into the water. Come into the water with me. It's warm. It's great. It's soothing. It's podcasting. And I want to help you do it. I want to help you do it. I'm all riled up now. But that's what I do. That is my passion. And there's nobody here today so I can scream and yell and be crazy. But I'm tired of the I don't have the money. Yes, you do. We always find money for entertainment. And there's nothing more entertaining than some crazy guy in an office screaming to nobody. So if you would like to help me help you start a podcast, you can go over to schoolofpodcasting.com and click on the Join Now button, and I would love, 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 love to help you avoid all the common pitfalls of podcasting. It would be awesome. And so you don't do things like use media hosts that are just horrible. And so you don't use things that whack your feed. And we'll get you going in the right way. We'll help you get your content so that you will get listeners. If you listen to me, right? And you don't have to listen to everything I say. I don't know everything about everything. You heard me. I'm all about constant improvement. But I do want to help you start a podcast. I'm out of breath. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, if you would like to reach me, I'm at schoolofpodcasting.com. And if you made it this far, and of course you did, because that's what podcasting is all about. Use the coupon code LISTENER, LISTENER, when you sign up at the School of Podcasting. That will knock a chunk off your first month. Come for the training. Stay for the community. We have a great private Facebook group. And, of course, you got little old me answering your emails and getting you going in the right direction. And we have monthly calls where you just get to talk to me and everybody else. They're networking calls. Trent talked about the great networking opportunities in podcasting, and I like to facilitate that at the School of Podcasting. So I got to go get a glass of water. I do hope to see you on the inside. And until then, it's time to start living a life worth podcasting about. And you can do that by turning off the TV. I didn't even mention that. Let me look at this. Mountain Dew, Frappuccino, movies, and eating out. That's $181 a month. Cut those out. Drink water. It's better for you. And I hope to see you on the inside. Until then, let me hit the bell. That's right. Class is dismissed. Take care. God bless.